Let's open up our Bibles this morning, Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14, as we continue our series here that we've entitled Graves into Gardens, and we're looking how God takes even the worst moments of our lives and changes them and uses them for something that is so, so good. And last week we talked about the fact that God takes the hopeless and he turns it into something that is hopeful. And this morning we want to talk about some dead ends here out of Exodus chapter number 14. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will save the children of Israel. They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together, Lord. Thankful for those that have traveled in safely to worship here today with us. And I pray that you would speak to each one of their hearts today in the way that they need. I'm so thankful for those who are joining us online from the safety of their own households across the world. And I pray that, God, you would speak to them where they are today. And first of all, we pray for those who don't know Jesus as their Savior. And we're so thankful for the one last Sunday who put her faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. And we thank you and we praise you for answering that prayer last Sunday. And God, we continue to pray for those who need you for salvation today. And I pray that whatever it is that is holding them back, whatever questions need to be answered, that God, in the quietness of their heart, you would help them to see that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And may they trust and believe today. And God, I pray for Christians and even those who don't know Jesus who are going through a hard time right now. And Lord, they feel that the circumstances of their life have brought them to a dead end that has no way out and there's no hope and no salvation. And God, I pray that as we spend some time looking into your word, that you would help them to know and understand that first of all, you see them right where they are. You know the circumstances that they are going through, God, that you care about them, that you love them, and you long to do a great and mighty work in their life to clear a path for them. God, I pray that our trust and our hope and our dependence would continue to be strengthened in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, 3 years ago, I took my family down to Kansas City to go and look at all the Christmas lights down there. We love to go look at Christmas lights. It's one of our favorite things to do. And so we went and drove down there on a Thursday. And when night came, we went around, we looked at all the different lights that are around that area. We spent the night and we got up the next day. And obviously in the daytime, you can't see Christmas lights. So we were trying to find some other things to do, so we decided that we were going to go down to the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. And first of all, it's free, so there's that. That's always a positive when there's six of you. So at this Museum of Art, though, we came upon a glass labyrinth. Now, how many of you have ever been in a labyrinth? You ever been in one? Okay, so some of you. So those that maybe aren't familiar, like you're saying labyrinth, but I have no idea what that actually is. So what a labyrinth is that word describes any maze-like structure with a single path in it and only a single path out. So when you go into this glass labyrinth, there's only one entrance and one exit. It's at the exact same spot. So you make your way around to get to the center, and then you have to come out the exact same way. There's no other way out of this thing. But as you go in, there's some warning signs. Like, it says, don't run. Like, you're not supposed to run. That's the first thing. So we come up to this glass labyrinth. I'll actually show you us in the labyrinth here, and you can see kind of what it's all about. So you have these glass walls, and you kind of just follow the path. And there's the warning signs that say, do not run. And so our girls were a little bit younger at that point 3 years ago, so we told them, listen, don't run, walk. Now, you can guess how long they listen to that information. Like, they're excited. This is kind of cool. So they take off running into the labyrinth. And it's not long before you hear, doink, doink. And they're bouncing their heads off the glass. And, you know, I found it about as comical as you did. Like, I thought it was funny. So I, instead of, like, helping my kids, I took pictures. So look at this picture here of Violet is crying. Violet's crying. Abigail gave up. She just sat down. She decided, I'm not moving another step. Because every step she took was doink. And we have a picture on Facebook of she's got this giant goose egg on her head that she just it wrecked her whole day. And so I kind of made my way through there and helped the girls finally when I stopped taking pictures of them. And all of a sudden, while I'm still in there, this mom shows up and she's got a kid that's probably 4. And he takes off running into the maze. And it's not long. Boom, doink. And he's beating his head off the thing, and he's crying, and he's still running, and he, like 3 or 4 times, he's literally like, boom. And I'm like, kid, I'm like shouting at him, like, stand still, I will come help you. And he would not stand, like, I had to chase him around the labyrinth, and I grabbed him by the hand, and I let him out. And when I was walking through it the whole time, I was walking through like this. Because it was weird. Like, on the picture, it looks like you can clearly see the path. When you're in there, you cannot. Like, and so I'm walking like this, and I finally get him out to his mom, and his mom says, he does this every time we come here. And I'm thinking, like, what do you mean every time you come here, he does this? Why are you still bringing him here? Like, what kind of punishment is this? This is an elaborate punishment. Like, oh, you don't want to do your chores? Down to the labyrinth. Here we go. It's not abuse if they do it to themselves. So, but walking through the labyrinth, and part of the problem we had was there were times where the path looked clear, and it wasn't. And then there were times where the path looked like it was a dead end, but it wasn't. It was very clear. And sometimes God brings us to those moments in our lives where it feels like this is just a dead end. Like, what am I supposed to do now? This relationship that I had invested so much time, so much energy, so much hope in, it's a dead end. This job that I've been at for so long, it's just kind of a dead end. This health situation, it's just, there doesn't seem to be a way out this time. And we're brought to these kind of dead end moments in life. But if we'll take some time, we'll have an opportunity to see God do some amazing things that only He can do. And we see that here with the children of Israel. Let's look here in Exodus chapter number 14. Beginning in verse number 1, says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now I'm going to read verse number 2, and I want to teach you something, because when we get ready to go to life group, somebody in here is going to have an opportunity to read this verse for the rest of the group, okay? Yes, there's our music. Thank you. I don't know why that's doing that. Like, we got to figure that out. He's got it. Okay, it's his fault. Everybody boo Dusty. Boo. Okay. Okay, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, you're going to have an opportunity to read this verse. I want to give you a piece of advice, okay? Just read it like you sound like you know what you're saying. Like, I know what these words are, and you just say it confidently, and everybody just be like, that's the way you say it. So whether it's today in life group or whenever you're asked to read in public, just pretend like you know what you're reading, okay? So this is what the Lord spake unto Moses in verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pahahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. So one of the things you have to understand here is that God had just delivered Israel from Egypt. They were slaves. They were in bondage. You have the whole Moses situation coming in saying, let my people go. 10 plagues. Finally, Pharaoh says, okay. So they are leaving Egypt. And they have a path that they're walking on. This is the way we're going to go. And while they're pursuing that course, God says, you know what? Time to change plans. I want you to turn over into here. I want you to encamp in this spot right over here. So he changes the course that they were on. Now, how many of you like detours? Anybody like detours? He does. Truck driver, he likes detours. You might, get away from the way stations. I got you. All right. So he's got a good reason for liking detours. Most of us don't like detours because they make a trip last that much longer. I can't stand detours. I remember a detour that I had to take a couple of years ago. I was taking a group of teenagers from here down to Pensacola Christian College to look at the college and decided that we're going to drive through the night. I don't do that anymore. I'm 40 now, so I don't do that. But I was driving through the night, and we get down to somewhere in Mississippi, no idea where we are, and detour. I'm like, oh, man. So I'm trying to follow what my phone says to do. My phone is freaking out because it's trying to get me to go back on this road. And it's pitch black out. It's like 2 in the morning, and we're driving down these roads, and all of a sudden, like, my detour literally takes me to a dead end on some small little road in backwoods Mississippi. And I'm a little nervous. The teenagers that were with me were very nervous. They were having like flashbacks of some horror movie that they'd watched, like, you know, that commercial, like, hey, let's go hide behind the chainsaws, like that one. That's what it felt like. It felt like one wrong move and it's over for all of us. Like, we are tomorrow's news. And finally backtracked out of there and went some long way out. But when you've been driving that far, like, you don't want to add any extra time onto a trip. You want to get there. And here, even in life, we don't like detours. Like, we establish a plan, this is what we're going to do, and getting off that track can be frustrating. And it's amazing how often life has these little unplanned turns that it sends our way. I mean, all of last year was a detour that none of us planned on taking. But we make plans and goals. We try to map everything out. But often God has a different idea of what needs to happen. And here in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 3, it says, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in." Kind of like my detour in Mississippi that just led to a dead end out in nowhere. That's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. That's what happens to us a lot of time in life. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been to some dead ends in my life. Like, my life has taken some detours in some directions I would not have chosen to go that have dead end. I have had relationships that came to a dead end. I've had, jobs that came to a dead end. I've had situations in life that just came right to halt, everything stops, and it's a dead end. And now Israel's in one of those dead end situations, but God had a plan for what he was doing. And God has a plan for what he's doing in your life too. Like, we just don't come to these dead ends for no reason. Sometimes I come to a dead end because of me. But even that is not for no reason. Even in that dead end, the point is to get me to turn around and go back and do what God wants me to do. So no matter what kind of dead end you get to in life, there's a reason, there's a purpose behind it, and it can be so useful. And in Exodus 14, verse number 4, God tells them the point of what he's doing. He says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. In other words, they did what God wanted them to do. But God has a plan here. And just as last week, as we looked at that God wants has a plan and he has a purpose and wants to take our hopelessness and turn it into something hopeful, God has a plan for all the dead ends of our lives too. And he wants to take those dead ends and he wants to turn them into clear paths. He had a plan, and it didn't match up with Israel's plan, but God's plan was more important. And I think it would be wise for all of us to evaluate whether or not our plans line up with God's plans. Because we make a lot of plans. And a lot of times, we don't even stop to think about God in any of it. We just map out our future, map out our days, map out our plans, and our goals and our dreams and everything else, without considering the most important thing. And the situation here goes from bad to worse for them. And it's not just that Israel is stuck in a labyrinth and can't find their way out. They're stuck in a labyrinth, and it's like somebody has put a hungry lion in the only exit. Skip down to Exodus 14, verse number 10. Kind of come along and progress along in the story here. So Pharaoh decides he's going to chase after them, and we get to verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And these dead-end moments, they tend to cause fear. We get to a point where there's no way out, and we begin to panic. And so one of the things we do in that moment is, first thing we try to do is figure out our own way. I got to figure out my own way out of this situation. And more often than not, that leads to something even worse. Like, they could have tried to figure out their own way out of this situation, and they would have missed out on what God was going to do. And it's funny how these dead-end moments can skew our memory. They can skew the way that we think about things. You know, you think about what they say here is, man, It was so much better in Egypt. But living in Egypt was awful. They were slaves that were abused and mistreated. But panic had set in, and so Israel, they started doing some math. And they started thinking about things. Okay, let's think back to what it was in Egypt. Yeah, it was bad. But we were alive. So being in Egypt in bondage is better than dying out here. And that was because of the perspective that they had. See, all their trust is gone. All they're seeing is the current dead-end situation instead of understanding the God who had led them into this situation and looking to him. And I want to challenge you that in these dead-end moments in our lives, we need to take some time just to look to him. When there's nowhere else to look, look up. Look to him. They were surrounded by mountains on both sides. They had the sea in front of them. They had Pharaoh's army coming in behind them. There was no place for them to go. So I understand the panic and the fear that had overcome them. But God had a response to their fear. And once again, I love the compassion that God has for people. Because here they are. They're so afraid. They're questioning God. They're questioning Moses. Man, it was so much better back when. And God has a response for them in verse 13. through Moses, says unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." In other words, what he's saying is, hey, just calm down. And a lot of times that's just what we need to do, is we need to take a second just to calm down. Instead of freaking out about everything, about the situation, about whatever else, the health problem, the financial crisis, a relationship that has gone bad, just, there's no don't panic. Just take your time. Catch your breath. He says, stand still. And I don't know about you, but that's one of the hardest things for me, is just to stop and be still and just wait for God to deliver. Stand still. He says, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And man, I love verse number 14 there, that the Lord shall fight for you. If God has led you down that direction, he's going to fight for you. If that's the direction he wants you to go, he's going to clear the path even when you see that there's no path there. If that's what God wants you to do, if that's the road he wants you to walk, he's going to make it happen. And we spend so much time and so much energy trying to fight for things ourselves, when if I would just stand back and just let God handle it, he would handle it. And sometimes I think God waits for us just to exhaust ourselves. Just punch yourself out. And that's when he chooses to step in. Because he wants us to understand that it's him. He's the one we need. He's the one that will give us the strength. He's the one that will make a way for us. He's the one that will fight the battle. And instead of fearing God, God wanted Israel to trust in him. And that's what he wants from you today. He wants us to trust in him, even when we can't see a way out of our situation. When we find ourselves in these dead-end moments, rather than being filled with fear, we should be filled with excitement. So what are you talking about? Why would you be excited to get in a moment that is this dead-end situation? Well, when we find ourselves in these dead-end moments, then we are in a situation where we moved into God territory. You know, I think about the different things that go take place in our lives. You know, after this, I don't see how this relationship can survive. That's God territory. When you don't see a natural way out, a natural way for this relationship to work, that's God territory. I just don't know how I'm going to pay the bills this month. Like, I don't have the resources, I don't have the finances to even pay the bills this month. That's God territory. I don't understand how I'm going to get through this health crisis. This looks like the end for me. Well, it might be. It might be your time, but it might be that you're stepping into God territory. And he wants to do something so spectacular. Look what happens when you step into God territory. Look at verse number 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea. So notice that it's not Moses. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. See, God does the impossible. He turns a sea into a highway. He takes a dead end and he turns it into a clear path. Why? Because they had stepped out into God territory. They stepped out into a situation where there was no way that it was Moses that was going to see them through it. There's no way they were going to be able to fight that army and push them back. No way they're climbing these walls and getting out of here. And there's no way all these people are going to swim across here and get away. It's impossible. That's God territory. That's why it should excite us when we come to these dead ends. When we come to these situations where I don't see the purpose and I don't see a way out. I don't see how God is going to be able to do it. The way out's there. We have to trust Him. And here, God just opens up the sea. Israel walks across on dry ground. And He takes that dead end and He turns it right into a clear path. And I've seen this happen in my life. I think about when my wife and I were both fired on the same day. You talk about a dead end. Like, okay, what do we do now? Like, this is not the, you know, when I was thinking about going to ministry and mapping everything out, like, having my wife and I fired from the same church the same day was not in the plans. Like, that was not the plan. I had plans. God said, you know what, that's not the plan for you. So it's time to hit that wall. It's time to get to a place where you don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. And it was through that dead end moment that God has led us here to doing what we're doing now in a way that we never even would have dreamed of before. But it took a dead end to get me to see it. And sometimes God brings us to that dead end to get us to see what it is that He really wants to do in our lives. And you look at verse number 27, it says, "And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord said, saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." See, God had a plan for what He was doing. And this plan right here was for the children of Israel. So He took them to that dead end, He opened it up, said, hey, you can go through. That was not a path for the Egyptians to walk. Now they tried to walk it. And God used that to deliver the children of Israel as He promised that He would do. So one of the things that we do is we can look at how God opens up doors for other people. But that doesn't mean that's specifically how God's going to open up that door for you. Or how He's going to open up that path for you. Each of us have to walk the path that's in front of us. I have to walk the path that's in front of me. Sometimes your clear path is another person's dead end. But we have to trust. We have to depend upon Him. We have to understand that God does have a plan. God does know what He is doing, and we can't always see what Jesus is doing. You know, we don't always understand what is He doing. And man, there's been plenty of times in my life where I've thrown my hands up in the air like, God, what are You doing right now? Like, I just don't understand. I don't see it. I don't get it. But I don't have to see. I don't always have to understand. What He's asking me to do is to trust Him. He's not necessarily asking me to understand what He's doing. He's not always asking me to see the big picture of what He's doing. He's saying, you trust me. You trust me. You stand still. You trust me and you watch me open up that path where there wasn't a path before. And many of us are like small children running through a glass labyrinth. Man, we think we know the direction we're supposed to go. It looks so clear. It looks like this is definitely the way. And I've done this myself. And doink. Man, that's painful. But sometimes it's that doink that gets us to a point like my daughter Abigail got to. She was like, I'm done with this. I'm done trying to find my own way out. I'm just going to sit here. Because she knew eventually I was going to come get her. She knew we weren't going to leave her there by herself. And sometimes God has had to allow me to get to that point where I just sit down and say, okay, God, whatever the path is, I'm not moving. I'm not moving until you show me the path. Until you help me to see the way that I need to go. In Exodus 14, verse number 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn in a camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. You may feel like you're trapped in a dead end today. But Jesus wants to take what looks like a dead end and turn it into a clear path. We just need to trust him.